And good morning, everybody. You're listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF. Kyle High with you this morning. And joining us on the line this morning is the Attorney General of Kansas. We have Derek Schmidt on the phone. Sir, good morning. How are you doing today?
Good morning, Kyle. Doing great.
Well, again, sir, again, it's good to talk to you. I hope your Thanksgiving will be good coming up. But a few things that we did want to talk about, of course, with the Christmas season starting to come up, you know, a lot of people will start buying stuff. Mainly, I mean, there'll be a lot of people buying stuff online. And you posted something late last month about the Consumer Corner, buyers beware when making online purchases.
Right. So I realize we sound a little bit like a broken record here because we warn people all year round to be cautious with any online purchases and watch out for scammers. But we've just seen such an uptick in that problem during the COVID situation. I think perhaps because more people are staying home and buying things online, the bad guys know it. And so we've seen an uptick in complaints about online scams, whether it's through email or whether it's through Facebook or whether it's through some other form of solicitation. And so we just alert people to use the same basic common sense advice that we always say, back to the broken record idea. If you want to make a purchase, figure it out at your kitchen table, literally or metaphorically, wherever it is you sit and think about these things. Go out and connect with an reputable, known retailer, whether it's a local store in your downtown, which is always good, or if you're going to buy online, make sure that you go yourself, not in response to an ad, to a trusted website that is the website for the trusted retailer, and then make your purchase. That's always the best.
Absolutely. And like you said, just go to that website so you can see for it yourself. Another thing, great story. You released this 2 weeks ago, but again, still a great story. During the National Drug Take Back Day, Kansans disposed more of 6 tons of unused medicine, which is great news.
Yeah, we've been partnering with the USDEA and with local law enforcement officials now for about a decade, doing these twice a year drug take-back events. And this time, as you say, we collected nearly 6 tons around the state of Kansas, all being now safely destroyed and not susceptible to diversion or theft or abuse or environmental damage. If you shouldn't flush them down the toilet, even though that's what they used to say, because then they dissolve in the water supply and we have things in our rivers and streams and lakes that we don't want there that aren't good. And so this is an opportunity twice a year for folks to clean out those medicine cabinets, be responsible, take good care of those prescription medications all the way through from the moment you get them from the pharmacy until they're safely disposed of if you don't use all of them. And I'm just really, really grateful for Kansans' willingness to be part of that, not just on these 2 days. We do it twice a year, but there are opportunities all year around. In many communities, there are drop-off sites that are run by law enforcement or sometimes by pharmacies or others where you can safely dispose of unwanted prescriptions all year round. So it's really a good sign of Kansans doing what Kansans do best, which is being responsible for their little part of the world.
Absolutely. I did see where Cherokee County at their police station now, they have a 24-hour place where you can drop off unused medicines and to get those destroyed at a later date, which is a very good thing. Also, the Tower Foundation has awarded grants to a few Kansas community mental health centers, including ones in Independence and in Parsons. So this is another great thing, helping these health centers around Kansas.
Yeah, years ago, of course, Menninger was just a foundation stone of the Topeka Community Mental Health Services. They were an early national leader in that. And unfortunately, some years back, Menninger, after some change, left Topeka and relocated to the Houston area. But when they did, they left behind a bit of money that's gone to create a foundation that's overseen by the Attorney General's office that provides some grant support every year to mental health services in Kansas. It really is an important legacy from the Menninger days in Topeka and in Kansas. And every year, the board of the Tower Foundation is what it's called, the Tower Foundation. Every year, they award grants to different mental health support projects around the state. This year, the board made the decision that because of the pandemic, because of the strain and stress it has caused and the increase in demand for mental health services, rather than picking out a particular project to support that might be geographically limited or limited in subject matter, instead, the foundation board decided to take the available funds for this year and divide them equally among the different community mental health centers that already do such terrific work in our communities all year round. So it wasn't a large amount of money, but we hope it showed important support for their work, and more than that, provided maybe just a little bit of extra flexibility to meet the needs that we know are so prevalent right now in our communities.
Absolutely. And of course, the topic of discussion that everybody's been talking about, you can't turn on TV or turn on the radio without hearing about it, of course, is the election that they're still counting in several states. But you posted that you think the U.S. Supreme Court should settle the role of state courts and modifying otherwise clear election statutes, because you had some, I think you had Pennsylvania that kind of extended their time. But again, what are your thoughts again on that?
Well, there's been so much noise around this election, both before and since, and that noise continues. It's, I think, important to sort of unpack the different issues in every election, whether it's a state election in an off presidential year or whether it's a major national election like the one we just came through. In every election, there are always issues and disputes that arise and that have to be resolved after Election Day. We get involved in those every election cycle in Kansas. So that's not unusual. What's unusual this year is that there's this national overlay of the really emotional discussion on both sides about the presidential election, and the president hasn't conceded, and so the process is working its way to finality, which is the way the system is designed. So against that backdrop, we this year are continuing to do exactly what we do after every election. We engage in, when these legal disputes arise, we engage in trying to get them resolved in a manner that we think makes the most sense for Kansas. They just happen to be a little higher profile this year. And so the issue that you asked about is in Pennsylvania. There are several disputes that have made the headlines, most of which are not our concern. They're Pennsylvania's concern. But one of them is this issue of there is a Pennsylvania statute. It's plain. It's not disputed. It says that any advance ballots, for example, mail-in ballots, must be received by close of business on Election Day in order to be counted. There's no dispute that's what the Pennsylvania statute requires. But despite that, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court used its equitable powers to say, essentially, well, we know that's what the statute says, but we think a different rule is required during this election because of the pandemic. And so we're going to extend the deadline by 3 days to Friday. The issue is whether federal law allows that state court to disregard that otherwise plain state statute in a federal election. I know that's a lot of words. But that's the legal issue that we would like to see resolved definitively, because my concern is, now that that's happened, now that we've had a state court that's claimed that power, if the issue's not resolved, one way or the other, yes, they did or no, they didn't, other states are going to look at that as precedent in the next election cycle, or the next election cycle, or the next election cycle. And I certainly don't want to be litigating after some future election here in Kansas, whether, say, the Kansas Supreme Court had authority to disregard an otherwise plain state statute and fashion its own election rules because in its judgment they were more prudent. So that's what we're trying to get resolved. The case has been to the U.S. Supreme Court once right before the election. The High Court said they weren't going to answer the question then because they have a practice of not making election-related decisions right before an election. They don't want to disrupt things. But Justice Alito invited that the case come back, and that's what we're encouraging happen to get us an answer.
Now, I do have a question about that. Of course, the state of Pennsylvania, the court there extended it 3 days. Would it have been possible? Would it have gone to the legislature? Could the legislature have extended it to 3 days after?
Yes, there's no problem with that. And in fact, that's what the case is in Kansas. Kansas also accepts mail-in ballots as long as they're posted by election day, postmarked by election day, but received by the Friday after the election. So the same rule. But the difference from a legal standpoint is that in Kansas, our legislature made that decision by statute. That's what the law says in Kansas. In Pennsylvania, their legislature made a different decision. They rejected that policy choice and instead said your mail-in ballot must be in by close of business on election day or it's not to be counted. And their Supreme Court second-guessed that legislative determination. In fact, the case that we're actually involved in Pennsylvania, it wasn't brought by any of the national parties. It wasn't brought by the Trump campaign. It wasn't brought by anybody outside of Pennsylvania. It was brought by legislative leaders in Pennsylvania, challenging the authority of their Supreme Court to just disregard what their legislature has done. And the reason it's a federal question and not just a matter for Pennsylvania state law is that there's a provision in the U.S. Constitution that says that the time, places, and manners, the times, the timing of elections, are to be determined by the individual states, in the individual states. And then the phrase is, by the legislatures thereof. So the federal Constitution requires, we believe, that these timing decisions on when ballots may be received be determined by state legislatures, not by state courts. That's the federal issue that's implicated here. And, you know, we'd like an answer on whether that's correct. This is not a case, I emphasize again, where there's a dispute about what the state law means. In that case, of course, I suppose the state courts would have to tell us what the law means. But there's no doubt here that Pennsylvania state statute, like Kansas statute, is clear. They've just made a different choice, and their court disregarded that choice.
Right, and that makes sense because obviously the courts, they're just supposed to rule on what is currently a law while the legislatures craft the laws. So, again, that's been a huge story that has been going on. Obviously, you can't, you know, like you said, there's been a lot of noise around it. And one more thing we did want to talk about is the state has alleged that more consumers were harmed by Sean Parcells and seeking to return those biological samples back to families.
Yeah, this is really a terrible case. There's an individual in the Kansas City area named Sean Parcells. He has held himself out as doing autopsies for hire for many years and has had some national profile in it. The problem, we allege, is that he has absolutely no qualifications to perform these autopsies and is not in compliance with state law governing the performance of autopsies. And so, we currently have separate cases pending against Mr. Parcells. We have criminal cases pending in Waubonsie County, and we have a large consumer protection lawsuit pending in Shawnee County. He is, of course, innocent and lesser until proven guilty, particularly in the criminal case. But in the consumer case, where we're trying to make things right, at least financially, for the families who hired him and didn't get what they thought they were getting, we have just recently amended our petition in that case to add we've discovered more people who were harmed, who were duped, if you will, by his conduct. And previously, we'd alleged three specific individuals or families who were harmed. Now we're up to 82. And we continue to encourage people, if they've done business with Mr. Parcells, to please let us know whether you were satisfied or not. We'd like to know the universe of his conduct in Kansas and nationwide. And on the biological samples issue, it is unfortunate, but he had a laboratory facility that he operated in Topeka, which we have under court order now obtained control of for a period of time, and did obtain a large number of biological samples that he had collected during the autopsies that he performed. Those are now being held under court order by the Department of Health and Environment. And we're in the process of trying to identify the family members of those individuals to determine whether they want their loved ones or their person with whom they're affiliated, whether they want any samples associated with that person to be destroyed in a medical manner, or whether they would like to obtain them back, for example, in some families' cases, for a proper burial. And so it's a very difficult case, but we're trying to do the right thing. Given all of that.
All right. Well, sir, again, thank you so much for coming on today. Lots of different topics there. And we'll talk to you again the same time next month. We always look forward to it, sir.
All right. Thank you, Kyle. I appreciate being on. Take care.
All right. Thank you very much. That is Derek Schmidt, the Attorney General of Kansas, with lots of different things that he was talking about today. And we will have that interview posted up on our website at KGGFRadio.com here in just a few moments. But until then, we have news coming up at the top of the hour. And then we will have Lisa Wilson from the Independence Chamber of Commerce stepping into studio. You're listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF.